Before the shadow, the people of this world were semi-nomadic, living in clans with an ever-shifting network of alliances and enmities. Although one people, the clans were diverse in tradition, outlook, and custom. Those along the old borders were traders, prosperous, widely traveled, and, in some cases, magical. Those living in the central plains were gatherers and trappers. And those living inland toward the grand and uncrossable mountains were herders and miners, solitary and secretive. But then the shadow came, and the time of black glass fell. Some 20 years ago, it attacked without warning. Stemming from the Grand Mountains themselves, it was superior in numbers and unnatural strength. The border clans initially attempted to fight back, but the men of the clans were too susceptible to the call of the shadow. During those early, desperate battles, most men fell, turning to black glass and against the clans they knew and loved. They swelled the ranks of the shadow's army. Weakened, wounded, and heartsore, the survivors fled to take refuge with neighboring clans and raise the alarm across the plains. The chaos that resulted almost shattered the clans. News of black glass created new feuds and fanned the flame of old hatred. But ultimately, as the Shadow's army pushed further and further toward the coast, threatening to consume the land entirely, divisions were set aside in the name of survival. It was clear that if the clans were to remain free of the Shadow's taint, they would have to stand together. So it was that the clans were dissolved. The people fell back, establishing a new border inland of the Great Pine Forest. The combined army made up of people from across their lands. It was known simply as the Watch, based out of the newly fortified encampments along the border. Not wanting a repeat of past tragedies, the Watch does not allow men to join its ranks, and keeps those men who remain untouched by the Shadow off the front lines and out of the Shadow's direct reach. The stories of the Watch are grand, horrifying, exciting, and oftentimes tragic. But we aren't here to tell just any story. We are here to tell the story of the Four. The Four who would, in the end, change the world forever. They are the soldiers of the Watch, tasked with defending the new border and reclaiming the land taken by the Shadow. They have already lost so much, but they have each other. They stand together with their comrades in arms in defense of the people. But though the clans were dissolved, old fault lines are always there just below the surface. The Shadow seeps into those fault lines, hoping to shatter the strength of the people once more. Welcome to the time of Black Glass. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast, an actual play, The Watch podcast of Black Glass. This is our first episode. I'm here with our four amazing players. We are going to go around and introduce ourselves to you for the very first time. So, Katie, hello. Who are you? Who are you playing?
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm playing Lufu. We both use she, her pronouns, and Lufu is the spider playbook.
Juno, why don't you go next?
Of course. My name is Juno. I go by she, her, or they, them pronouns, and I will be playing Kova Zarudo of the Charsa clan, and she uses she, her pronouns.
Mel.
Hello, my name is Mel. I use they, them pronouns, and I will be playing Daruk Roishan, who also uses they, them pronouns.
And last but not least, Lady Dame.
Hi, I'm Jordan, also known as Lady Dame. I use she, her pronouns, and I will be playing Treni of Clan Dothras. Dothras? Starting off well. They use she, they pronouns and uses the Fox playbook.
And I am Summer. I use she, her pronouns, and I play the remaining members of the Watch and the Shadow itself. If you have never heard of the Watch and you're curious to know a little bit more, I'm going to give you a quick rundown. The Watch is a low fantasy PBTA game about women and non-binary people who are fighting to retake their homeland from the Shadow, a darkly sorcerous threat that has the power to possess men and use them to its own violent ends. The stories we will tell are structured around the military campaign against the Shadow's forces. We will tell stories of war, love, and sacrifice. We will play to find out what happens, and we will, in the end, defeat the Shadow. We are using safety tools, X and O cards, lines and veils. I highly recommend my players have those lines and veils up so we can all reference them. And we also are using the open door policy. Open door policy applies to myself and our players, but it also applies to you, the audience. The Watch is a story about toxic masculinity, and I'm sure that you will pick that up. It can oftentimes be triggering, dark, and honestly very hard. We all have safety tools to keep us safe, and you deserve that same consideration. So if you ever need to put the podcast down and go do something else for a little while, we will be here when you feel ready to come back. So make sure to take care of yourself. Whew. We have quite the journey ahead of us, but we're just going to go ahead and get started. We're just going to dive right in. It's spring in the Clanlands. The weather is still cool, the snow having just melted from the trees inland of the coast and east of the Great Pine Forest. When you were children, you might have enjoyed this kind of weather, crisp and clear. But that was a lifetime ago. The four of you make your way through the Great Pine Forest now, crossing over that final border between the Shadow and what little remains of the Clanlands. You are returning from a recruiting mission. It was fruitless. The men of Black Glass were there to greet you the moment you left the cover of the forest, and there was no way around. So you've turned back for now, to regroup and think about your next move. As you walk among these great pines that seem to stretch up forever, only hearing the quiet of your breathing, footsteps, and the forest, make your way home, you have some time to reflect. Juno, if you would care to tell us about your character, what do we see when we look at her? And what moment is she reflecting on from recent days?
You see, towards the back of the group, a very tall woman with warm, dark skin, thick black dreadlocks, with very colorful red, orange, yellow outfitting. She seems to be looking over the rest of the group, keeping an eye on them and always looking back to see if they're being followed. What lingers on her mind right now was not the first ambush, but the times when our unit tried to stop and rest. The men of Black Glass were relentless on this trip, and it was everything we could do to just stay alive. And the fear I saw in my teammates' eyes is something that still shakes me.
Is this visible to the others, or is this something that you hide?
It's something that I hide.
Well?
For the most part. If anyone looks at Kova for too long, they might see her waver a little bit, a very tired look on her face, but she tries to stand strong. At least until she knows we're out of danger.
So as we see Kova, as you try and keep that shaken feeling off of your face and remain strong for the others, we're going to look at another member of your unit. Katie, if you would describe Lufu for us, what do we see when we look at her and what moment is she reflecting on?
You see someone going from member to member, in a very motherly way, checking and making sure that there are no injuries and that people are all right. In a quiet way, she's not saying much as she does so. Her red hair is down around her shoulders. I don't think she notices that it's fallen from the loose bun that she usually keeps it back in. And her skin is pale, but her cheeks are reddened from the cool, crisp air that she's been walking in a hurry from. Her eyes are bright green as she carefully inspects everyone she looks at. She even gets as far back in the group to Kova and gives Kova a smile as she does. But she hurriedly moves on. But in her mind, I think she's busying herself to not think about the way she saw her reflection in the eyes of the men of black glass, because it reminds her of the one that she lost. Now it reminds her every time that she sees them.
As you busy yourself, kind of flitting from member to member, Mel, I think as we see Lufu run by Daruk, what do we see when we look at them, and what moment from recent days are they thinking of?
When you see Daruk, you see a person with perhaps beads of sweat from hiking around on strong musculature from years of very deliberate physical conditioning, and kind of flat, silky mullet that goes down the back but very short in the front, and a strong Roman nose, as some people would call it. And they are reflecting on the shame and the guilt of retreat, the feeling of helplessness, and a welling anger about the situation and not seeing any change come to fruition, but also a very deep fear of what could be for themselves, and that would definitely be something that they'd try to hide, but just very deep fear.
You are the highest ranking member of this unit. Do you feel personally responsible for the retreat? I mean, I think that you know logically that everyone would agree that there was no safe way through, especially given that you are working at a reduced rank unit. Plenty of people are actually back home at the watch headquarters to refortify a part of your main home structure. But is Daruk carrying that?
Yeah, Daruk is definitely carrying that weight on their shoulders. And I believe that would be something that everyone would be able to see, is maybe weighing them down as they head home.
And as Daruk is left to their thoughts, we focus in on our last. Jordan, if you would like to describe Trini for us, as you walk through this great pine forest that you perhaps know better than any of the rest that are with you.
I do. Walking among the trees, staying with the group, although perhaps looking a little absent-minded as Trini wanders through, almost ghost-like, like a spirit wandering through the woods. If you didn't know any better, she is pale, with long, straight, white hair that sort of flows down and melds with her white gown breastplate, using a spear almost as a walking stick. Black veins sort of creep across her face. She's looking up, but not anywhere in particular, as if she's trying to see through something. But there's a fog, at least in her mind, where she's trying to see. She is thinking about, I'd say, a poor interaction with one of the spirits as she tried desperately to help in the ways that she knows how, which is to call on the spirits and ask them for their aid, and they won't give it. And maybe she asked the wrong one, and maybe if she had asked the right question, she would have seen this coming or seen how to succeed, but she didn't ask the right questions and she didn't even with everything that she knows and that she's trained, it wasn't enough, and it wasn't enough to keep the men of Black Glass away.
As the four of you walk, you know that you will be through the forest soon, and you will come out the other side to the bowl where the watch resides, essentially a large slope that goes down to the ocean. The watch has made its permanent home against those seas with nowhere else to go. But you have maybe an hour before you arrive home. Is this a silent trip? Or do any of you speak?
I think Lufu is making polite conversation with the people she flits about to.
What is polite conversation in this particular circumstance?
Asking if people are all right, if she can help them any, if she can get them anything. It's definitely not anything specific to what they've just encountered. I think she's deliberately avoiding that subject, making it more about how the group is, not about what they've just encountered. I think when she makes her way to Trini, she pauses for a moment. She's used to seeing Trini in this sort of days, of course. So I think she clears her throat and Trini, is there anything I can do for you?
The veil is thin here. You don't happen to have a sewing needle on you, do you?
Actually, I do.
Will it pierce the veil, stitch it back together?
I'm not sure that's the type of needle you need, Trini.
Ah, figures. I've never heard of such a needle, but...
Are you all right, though?
All right. Since when have any of us been all right, Lufu?
I was all right a year ago.
That's right. How are you?
As well as one can expect, I believe. I'm holding it together well.
Mm-hmm. Wisps of shadow cling to you, Lufu, as it does to the rest of us.
Well, I think they always have, Trini.
Perhaps.
I think with that, Lufu gives Trini a nod and steps away to tend to someone else.
It's quiet in the forest. I think the other two of you would easily overhear this conversation, especially given that it is so quiet. This walk, this retreat, now slow and steady as you are near your destination.
Trini, I think, at this point, would sort of wander over to Daruk and put their hand on their shoulder. You did well, Lion Cub.
Doesn't feel that way.
Failures do not mean weakness.
Perhaps not, but I can't help but feel that way when I just feel like it's been so long. This has been, for so many of us, half of our lives, our entire lives, and we're all just really tired, I think. I just want to get back.
Ah, yes. Even young lions need rest. How young were you when the shadow came first?
Maybe 2 or 3, not old enough to remember anything.
Ah, you do not remember the light.
No. What about you?
I was 10. I remember the day it came.
Wow.
First. Once I could hop through, commune with the spirits, all the time, as easy as breathing. Now they don't talk unless I... Well, it takes a lot more work than it used to.
That certainly sounds difficult. I don't know, in all honesty, I don't know much about spirits and veils, just what you've shared, but is there any, like, ritual or anything that Do you meditate? How exactly do you do it?
That is an excellent question. One might call it meditating. These days it is like wading through water and cutting through a deep fog with a butter knife.
Huh. That's very profound.
Is it? That's just what it feels like. Here though, it feels wrong here. It is easier here, but it is also more dangerous here. Can you feel it?
Daruk will kind of like pause in walking for a moment and glance from side to side and try sniffing the air and just say, no, unfortunately not.
It feels like hedgehog needles.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you're with us. I know nothing of any of these things.
You know many other things. And you're a good leader, whether you believe it or not.
You know how I feel about this position. I am too young and brash, and I do not make the best decisions. But circumstance, unfortunately.
Better you than me, one who does not make decisions at all, but merely goes where the wind calls.
I like that about you.
Thank you, I think.
And you walk on, making your way through the forest. And whether you make polite conversations or have profound discussions, eventually the trees thin, and you see it, and you hear it, and you smell it. The ocean, extending forever. It's a deep blue-gray, steely, and marred by breaking waves. There are still some pine trees that descend down into the bowl. It seemed, at the time it was built, like the least ideal location to station the watch. But the forest and the rocks descending keep it safe enough. And so far, the shadow has not made it to the walls of the watch. You make your way through. Along the coast are civilian houses, the first proper houses that were possibly ever built in the clanlands, as they've now had to withstand storms and tides and 20 years of weathering. Further inland, that is, there is the buildings that make up the watch. There is the training bunkers where you all spent some amount of time when you first joined, learning how to swing a sword, even if you haven't done so since, where you were outfitted, where you were taught basic first aid and other supplies, and you began to learn the trade of being a soldier. It is maybe sad to return here, maybe happy. For some of you, this is as close to the only home you've ever had. How are all of you feeling as you make your return? You hear the horns announcing your presence, friendly faces. Thankfully, you've never heard the warning horns.
Kova is deeply relieved to finally be back in familiar ground. It's almost like a huge weight has been lifted from her, and she already seems brighter, a little more energetic.
And the rest of you?
Every time they return here, it's relief, of course, because they've returned safely to somewhere that's familiar. But it also means that they've returned to another day of war, another day of fighting, of something of that sort. So it's a bittersweet moment for Lufu. And I think, like, while there's relief written on her face, her shoulders are still slumped.
Trenny looks as distracted as ever, sort of almost tilts her shoulder back, always with this, almost like she has eyes in the back of their head, keeping part of themselves in the forest, always. But there is a little sense of relief. A little tension goes out of the shoulders.
And Daruk, this is pretty much the only home you've ever had.
Yes, and I think because of that, Daruk is maybe a little bit numb, and there's also some anxieties about returning to this place again, having not succeeded, but just happy to be back alive with everybody. And Daruk would go up to Kova as they return and ask her with kind of brighter demeanor now that they know that everybody is safe and at least they're going to be for a little bit. What are you going to do now that we're back? What are you going to do to blow off the steam from that mess?
I will not lie, Gobran. I have been spending most of the time back wondering what exactly I would do. I considered going on a patrol just to stretch my legs somewhere that is more familiar. But if you have something in mind, I would be more than happy to accompany you.
Doesn't have to be anytime soon, but I have seen some of that pottery of yours, and if you would be willing to teach me, I would really love that.
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
Why the sudden interest, little one?
You know, Leia, I wanted to make something for her. Just something small. I've never been artistically gifted, but with your guidance, I feel like I could make something nice for her.
I think the expression of your affection is just beneath your hands, my friend. We will make something.
Thank you, Kova. Thank you.
Of course.
As you near the gates to the central watch, there's a scream of excitement from just beyond, and all of you see a face that you are most likely familiar with, a woman with a shaved head and skin like the sunset. She comes sprinting out, a huge smile on her face. And Lufu, you are all but tackled to the ground as Lai Shi greets you with open arms, kissing your face all over.
Lai Shi, it's all right. We're back. Calm down, please.
I know. I just missed you.
I missed you as well.
And I'm glad to see you in one piece. You are in one piece, aren't you?
Lufu pulls back and like looks down at her black armor. It's decorated, and she pretends for just a moment to think about the question, and she says,
Yes, I think so. I don't think I left anything behind. How is everything here?
The same. Boring.
Well, you should have came on the patrol then.
Well, I would have if I had been allowed to.
Well, maybe you should try harder next time.
There hopefully won't be a next time. It does seem as though we are going to be sent out again very soon. Maybe tomorrow, day after.
Wonderful. Just what I love to hear.
It will be our unit and yours, she says, referencing her troop, Ara, and yours, Vela, and the other remaining members that did not accompany you on this particular recruiting mission. Apparently it's something about a fort. I admit I wasn't fully paying attention in the meeting, but I'm sure they'll have a more proper something. You should all come eat.
Of course, let's go.
And I think she looks at everyone and sort of begins like a mother would do, sort of ushering everyone toward like wherever they have food, the building or tent or wherever food's usually served.
She takes your hand, Lufu, and starts to kind of drag you, leading the rest of you inside. As you make your way into the watch, you see all of the other soldiers, mostly stuck to their units, doing a bit of group training and being assigned to their various missions. You see plenty who have recently gotten home after tackling the front lines. There are those that are wounded, maimed, and even some that are covered in blankets with stretchers that did not make it. But overall, spirits do seem to be relatively high as you make your way in. And you see several other units that had also gone out right around the same time as you, returning with new recruits who are fresh-faced, maybe a little bit excited, most of them having lived their entire lives hearing of the Watch and all of your great deeds in your fight against the Shadow, but never seeing it for themselves. And you make your way to the mess hall for dinner. How are all of you feeling, knowing especially that you're going to be going back out in a couple days?
I think it takes Lyshi, like, all that she can to pull Lufu away from the wounded, to get her to go eat and focus on herself. There are other medics or other healers there besides Lufu, of course, but Lufu just takes that responsibility on herself so Absolutely. Much all the time. It's very much a coping mechanism, and I think that's what she's like. She's trying not to think about the fact that tomorrow, or the day after, if not sooner, tomorrow, they'll be going right back out. Lufu's not a soldier. She reminds herself of that every single day. Her hands, in her mind, her hands weren't made to fight. They were made to heal. And she doesn't like thinking about having to go out and fight people who were probably good people at one point. And it bothers her. And to cope, she's automatically going over to try and help other people, and that's all she can think about. That's constantly running through her brain.
It's always hard to say what Trenny is feeling at any given moment. She's just odd. But she sort of floats through the mess hall, not really interacting with anyone, but makes a small plate of food and makes a second one with more on it to bring to Lufu, who seems to be treating other patients and continuing trying to do what they can. Lufu.
I think it takes you calling her name a couple of times for her to drop what she's doing and look at you and just, oh, hello, Trini.
I wouldn't ask you to stop what you are doing, but even the trees need dirt and moisture to grow strong. And she puts the plate in front of Lufu and sort of glides off.
And I think Lufu watches you glide off. And thank you, Trini. Thank you very much. Just hollers after you a little bit.
You're welcome. That's fine.
As the rest of you gather your plates, you do see some familiar faces here. I think, Daruk, you would see Leia. She is sitting at one of the tables with an old book in her hand, and you can see that she continuously goes to, like, lift her fork to her mouth to eat, but then ends up putting it back down to turn the page. So her food is getting cold, but the book is getting read. And Kova, you would see a few familiar faces. Obviously, there is Paele, who is also a part of your group, a part of your unit, and Abernathy, I think they are sitting together, the two of them, and raise a hand to wave at you to welcome you back after your recruit mission.
I think as Kova enters the mess hall, with the knowledge that they'll have to repeat this again very soon, simmering in the back of her mind, she manages a broad smile as she clasps arms with Paele and sits down beside them.
They look at you and say, so, how'd it go?
Now, what kind of story do you want to be in for today, Paele? Is this a rousing tale? Is this a foot stomper, or do you want the truth this time?
Anything you can say to warm this meal.
Please, it is not that cold. But if you insist, today was, it would be dishonest to call it a complete success, but all of us managed to make it out alive. We were never given an opportunity to stop and get our bearings. The moment we left the clearing, they were already upon us. We did our best to fight back. Daruk, as usual, was valiant. And one of these days, we will have to cheer him on for one of your celebrations. But in the meantime, everyone did their best to look after the others. And while we may not have succeeded, coming back in one piece is enough of a success for me, I think. Besides, if I did not, who is going to challenge you?
Oh, they laugh at that, kind of choking on their food as they've been eating while you've been talking. And Abernathy, who has been listening, just like fully eyes wide, listening to your tale, they say, "So, were there a lot of them?"
Yes, young Abernathy, there were many. I was looking out for the rest of the group in the back. So as we retreated, I saw their numbers in full. Dozens, maybe encroaching on 100, slowly coming out of the brush. It was terrifying. But between the four of us, we were able to carve a path with some ease. It was most impressive when my shield was used to catapult Daruk to the front. I admittedly was not convinced it was going to work at first. But given how much we have practiced, I am thrilled to know it went off without a hitch when we needed it.
When you mentioned the catapult, Paele definitely scoffs like, that sounds like it happened. And Abernathy, though, kind of like gasps and grasps onto them, like clearly very into this story. And they say, "You know, we're supposed to go back out tomorrow. The captain said that it could possibly be 2 days, but I don't think they really meant it."
Captain Dobok is not one for underselling the gravity of our work. And while that has its place, it is not great for morale. I don't think I need to convince you. But I know that I have seen you and the work that the rest of you have done. And I have no doubts that whether it is tomorrow or the day after, or the day after that, we will be okay. If you would like, I could help you train later tonight, or we could have something of a celebration, both for the return and to ready our spirits for the next venture. What say you?
Abernathy smiles very big, and you can see that their cheeks kind of color in excitement. So they have a very expressive, very easy to read face. And they say, "Oh yes, I think a celebration of sorts would be well appreciated by just about everybody. I mean, I know that there are some who don't think we should be celebrating until the shadow has been ultimately defeated, but I don't really care." This is a pretty bold statement from Abernathy.
That's the spirit. Remember, there is no victory too small for celebration.
As you say that, Daruk.
So Daruk is doing several different things. First, they're going to take a lot of meats, not like too much that they're like taking away from everybody else, but gotta maintain the gains. And then they're going to take a good amount of whatever alcohol is sitting around tonight, go and grab an extra glass, and they're going to hold on to that for now, go and sit with the recruits for a little bit, for a while, maybe try and boost their morale, even though they're not so confident themselves, but want to maintain kind of more positive spirits in the camp. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to see Lufu not giving enough attention to herself with the injured, bring that glass of maybe wine or something to Lufu and tell her, "My dear, dear aunt, you must sit down just for a little bit and have a drink, please, please."
"You know I can't rest. I have to make sure these people are all right."
They're in good hands with you. But they're also in good hands with the numerous other medics that we have. You should rest just a little bit here.
I think you noticed that her plate of food has barely been touched. It's been picked over, really. And it's far past going cold. It was already cold, and now it's really cold. But I think she sighs and takes your glass of wine that you offered. It takes a long drink, and she says, she reaches out, and I think she just sort of runs her hands through the side of your hair. She says, "Fine, anything for you, my niece."
I'm going to give a little bit of a cheers and give her a big hug and say thank you. And then head over to make a beeline to where Leia is sitting. Mm-hmm. And Daruk's going to unhook some of the furs from their cape and kind of like drape it around Leia's shoulders and just plop a little bit loudly down next to her and just kind of arms crossed on the table, head down, and like just look at her, just gaze at her reading.
I think Lufu follows and sits next, not like uncomfortably close to the couple, but sits close to them. She doesn't want to invade their space, but you know, sits a little close to them. Just, I think she's close to Daruk and close to Drea and doesn't want to get close to Leia, I'm sorry, and doesn't want to get too close for comfort.
I think with the weight, you see Leia kind of startle a little bit out of her book, and she kind of touches it, like not really knowing what's going on, and then turns and sees you and gives you just the sweetest smile as she slowly marks her page and closes her book. And she says, "Hi."
"Hello." And I'm going to give her a big hug and ask, "What are you reading?"
"Well, you should be particularly interested because I am reading about the fort that we are going to in a couple days."
"Oh, okay.
It's pretty interesting. It's got quite the history."
"Ooh.
Fort Filigras. Have you heard of it?
Fort Filigras. No. History isn't my thing, but you already know that."
"It was actually the very first fort that was built by the Watch. It's almost as old as we are, 18 years.
"Wow."
"It's got walls higher than the Great Pine Forest, they say."
How do you feel about tomorrow?"
"I'm anxious, as always, to leave the safety of home, but we can't do much from here. We can't wait for the shadow to come. Because if it makes it through the forest and arrives on our doorsteps, it will be too late. While I don't particularly like the idea of being on the front lines, what can we do?"
I'm going to clasp her hand and tell her, "Whatever happens, I know that you're going to do a fantastic job. But please, please, if something goes wrong, and don't tell this to the captain. Do not repeat this. It's between you and me. And don't hate me for this, but please, please take care of yourself first. Please."
She smiles at you and then leans in and kisses you on your cheek and lingers there for a really long moment.
I can't take care of myself first because I'm taking care of you.
Well, you're not completely wrong, but I'm going to just let out a long sigh, I guess, and then just kind of lean back.
Trunny would have found, as often in when they're in the mess hall, a yes. quiet corner, but they would be watching Kova talk to Pelea. Pelea? And anytime, if anybody noticed, she would look away and not make it super obvious, but whenever she thought nobody was watching, she'd be watching Kova.
Is this something you're trying to hide from Kova?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Kova, do you think you would notice, or are you too busy chatting?
Kova prides herself on being aware of most of what goes on around her. So I think at some point, just sort of when she was glancing off in that direction, she noticed Trenny looking directly at her, but decided not to like actively acknowledge it. But there's this feeling of warmth that rises whenever she thinks about it.
And I think as we see Kova and Trini lock eyes for just a moment, a quite imposing, though endlessly comforting figure enters the mess hall, the watch captain, Dubuk. They walk over to your table, Kova, and they say, "Gather your unit, Ara as well. Meet me in the debriefing room. We need to go over your next mission."
"Yes, Captain."
"And bring a bottle of wine."
"I will bring two."
They give you a very slight smirk, which you know is about the extents, like the most smile or kindness that you're going to get. And they reach out and squeeze you on the shoulder. And they turn and head out of the mess hall to the meeting room. Paele rolls their eyes. "Well, I suppose there's no putting it off forever."
"Right this way. It won't be that bad, I promise. Probably."
"Oh, you think the wine's for nothing then? Sure, yeah. Definitely a party wine. Mm-hmm.
Anything's a party if you try hard enough."
"Oh, I try." And they stand and kind of tug Abernathy, who's trying to finish the rest of their soup, and start to head towards the door as well. The rest of you see this easily, and you know, as the captain turns and gives you all a particular look, whether you overheard or not, that you are being summoned for your mission.
Yeah, I think Lufu's pretty quick to get up and head that way. Lufu is a very curt, on-time type of person.
The only thing that can pull her away from the wounded are her appointments.
Especially with the captain.
Trenny, do you linger or do you follow directly after Kova?
I'll wait to make sure that Daruk gets up and leaves as well. I know they are a little preoccupied.
I think you see, although Leia is also reluctant to go, she does pull Daruk to their feet. They both shuffle on out, even though that's probably the last thing they want to be doing right now.
I wink at Leia and then I follow.
Daruk is going to grab a bottle of wine just for themselves on the way out.
And as we see Kova with two bottles and Daruk with one, and the four of you join the rest of your unit and the Ara unit, we are going to end our first episode of Black Glass.
Oh my god!
Ah! Yes! Ugh. Oh my gosh.
I am already so like immersed, and the four of them, it just feels like so real already. I don't know. I just love it so much.
It's so good.
But it doesn't feel like a first episode. Like, it feels like a first episode, like world building wise, but their relationships already feel so good. I don't know. I love it.
It feels like we hit the ground running with our dynamics.
Yes.
And yeah. Just going for it. So nice.
I'm so excited. Oh, it's so good.
We're going to go around and do introductions. That is who you are, where people can find you on the internet. Katie, why don't you take us away?
Yeah, I'm Katie. You can find me all over the internet at Katie Face. It's KatyFaise. I'm also a member of Off the Table, Off _ the Table, where this podcast is hosted. I stream there. Anything that I'm doing, though, you can find me talking about on my Twitter. That's the best place to keep up with me. And yeah, that's basically all.
Juno, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Stellar Empress. It's StellarEmpress. I don't do quite a lot with other podcasts and streaming, though I will be guest starring in a few things soon. So yeah, keep an ear out.
Jordan, where can people find you online?
You can find me pretty much everywhere online at The Lady Dame. I do a lot of stuff. You can usually find me doing something on Open for Adventure on their Twitch channel. I also play on the Guildheart Gaming channel. And I also stream on my own channel, also at The Lady Dame, doing a lot of variety of things. But the best place to find out what I'm doing and when is on my Twitter.
And Mel, where can people find you on the internet?
Yes, so right now, just Twitter at Jinny Jin Jin. That's DJINNYJINNJINN. And I forgot to say this earlier, but my playbook is the lioness. Yes.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
And I am Summer. You can find me on the internet at Just a Summer Job. That is where I tweet and retweet about everything that I am doing. You can find Off the Table's official Twitter at Off_the Table. That's where we tweet about all of our podcasts, all of our shows, all of our content. So I highly encourage you to go follow us there. That is where you'll be receiving notifications about future episodes of Black Glass. So I'm very excited to kick off this campaign. I love these characters so much. I could scream. I was thriving the first 30 seconds and I haven't stopped since. We will be back in 2 weeks with more of this story for you. So until then, take care of yourselves, stay safe, and we will see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.